on the Pilot TV podcast this week, we're making up for the fact that the new season of Jack Ryan had to be reviewed on Pilot Plus last week by bringing Wendell Pierce himself onto this week's show to chat all about that. Plus, we head to Rotterdam to tangle with some dangerous types in Then You Run on Sky, fire up the CCTV with Ross Kemp in Blind Spot on Channel 5, and hack government servers with a pair of eco-activists in A Thin Line on Paramount Plus. I'm James Dyer, and welcome to the Pilot TV Podcast, your essential guide to every show that matters, and a podcast that, despite being historically sceptical, now unequivocally believes in the power of positive thinking. After, amid a wasteland of cancelled shows and streaming injustices, Warrior Nun was snatched from Satan's jaws and granted a belated reprieve from damnation. Boyd, Kay, has this blown your nun-loving minds?
I'm not sure if Kay is entirely on board with the Warrior Nun
really?
Scenario.
What have you got against Dezigual?
The name, for start.
Even more bewilderingly, reference to Dezigual. Do you know what he's talking about?
Shall I explain? No,
it's very Spanish.
Yeah, Warrior Nun.
Oh, Desigual.
Yeah, it's a Spanish set thing, and a lot of the people often seem to be wearing Dezigual, which
fine,
is like Dezigual. Which is always
it's a Spanish Zara.
It's a Spanish Zara, but colourful, frankly, often
it's got
hideous.
A real Eurotrash vibe.
Eurotrash vibe, totally mm-hmm. Eurotrash vibe.
Unless our listeners are wearing Dezigual, in which case
we
love it.
Of course. Yes, Warrior Nun was a cult phenomenon that was much loved on this podcast, including by, I believe, Terry White loved it, yeah. It's madness. It's a mad, insane show. And it's been, and it was cancelled by the Netflix. And now it was revealed it was coming back by the creator. But he didn't say in where it was going, did he?
No, so I don't know if we've got any details. It was just on Twitter. Twitter was aflame.
Yes.
Because we should be pointed out that while clearly it is insane that Warrior Nun has been renewed where the likes of the OA and even Lockwood & Co. have not, but let's not get into that, and Winx, but anyway. The Warrior Nun hive is a force to be reckoned with. Like, I don't know if you ever write anything on Twitter and use the hashtag Warrior Nun.
Really?
Honestly, they will descend. Like, they're a powerful force. They're very, very passionate about this show. You know, I really enjoyed the first season. Is it a great show?
Rhetorical question.
Hard to say, but
I mean,
I do enjoy
it. High pitched.
Yeah,
but I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it, and it has a really passionate fan base. And actually, there is a part of me that is rather pleased that it's coming back because I kind of feel like Netflix have been very, very trigger happy with a lot of these shows, and I think actually, if the Warrior Nun hive have the clout to bring back Warrior Nun, then there's hope for all manner of things to get cancelled. What would you bring back, Boyd, apart from the OA? Apart from the OA, if you could, who would you galvanise a hive to resurrect? What show? What would it be?
Oh, God. Don't do that.
Okay, is there anything that you have that was cancelled that you would like to see exhumed?
Yes, My So-Called Life.
Oh, yeah, good answer. Yeah.
Bring that right back.
Yeah, Kay, not in any way late to the party. Ribeiro, hang on. You're going to necro My So-Called Life. How many decades after it came off the air?
Wait, you've been re-watching West Wing.
No, but I'm just saying, it's like, surely to resurrect a show, you need to be able to... I mean, I think it's fairly safe to say that the main characters will have graduated high school at this point.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Oh, like that. Okay,
I'm saying there are logistical problems to... So-Called Life, and I should say, so everyone loves
fantastic.
That show. Only one season. I've never actually seen it, but apparently amazing show.
Yeah.
But Claire Danes was, what, 17 at the time?
Yes, I see your point now.
Yeah.
I thought you were just being unnecessarily...
I mean, I was that too, obviously. But there are logistical barriers,
yes.
I would say. So maybe something a little more recent where, you know, the cast are likely to return.
So demanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Eldorado.
Where are Bunny and Fizz now?
Yes,
that's the question.
Or Marcus Tandy.
That is the question.
You've also, in your introduction to this particular podcast, you've mangled news with like a question.
Because he was
section.
So excited to talk about it.
Yeah, it's all completely.
We are living in the dictatorship.
You are, yes. This is my world. You just live in it. Okay, good. Well, this has been fun.
Well, Lockwood & Co. is my answer. Yes, you should fucking bring that back.
It's the most recent egregious
example of an excellent show.
Yeah.
Cruelly cancelled.
Even I liked that one. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Since we are blurring the lines between news and, let's be honest, every other section of the show, we should probably mention that it's not just Netflix who are, no disrespect Netflix, streaming twats. So Paramount Plus, or Plus, if you will, that's probably what
you will.
As I will,
famous mispronunciation.
Paramount Plus, they have not only cancelled Star Trek Prodigy,
Oh, yeah.
And not only cancelled, Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies. Eh.
Yeah,
I mean,
but they are erasing both shows from their channel, erasing. Which means they will no longer exist.
This is the new phenomenon, though, isn't
yes.
it? It is mad.
I don't think...
it absolutely
so no one else
bonkers.
Can buy it up and show
no,
it
well, I don't know. Maybe they will at some point release a physical release, or maybe they'll sell it to someone else. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that Paramount Plus is the home of all Star Trek, I believe, at the moment. Like, you can get all Star Trek on Paramount Plus. But apart from Star Trek Prodigy, which is being...
Was
actually shot
shit?
Into the sun. No, it was fine. It was only kids, but it was fine. I interviewed Kate Mulgrew for that.
You can actually get lots of different Star Trek series still on other streamers.
You can.
Like, I believe OG Star Trek still on Netflix. For
is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I believe. Yeah.
But I just, that kind of blows my mind. It's like, cancel it. Okay, but also think about this. So Rise of the Pink Ladies was a show that was released week by week, not in one go. And according to my vague maths, or rather something someone told me, it's about 3 weeks since the last episode aired. So if you're watching week by week and waiting, you then had 3 weeks to watch the final episode before all episodes were scoured from this earth.
Unless you recorded it.
Unless you had a some kind of VCR player.
Yeah.
Yes, which you just kept
you
around
had
from the 90s.
Or you had a handheld camcorder. Just
yeah, yeah.
Well, you could have Sky Plus'd it or whatever. Sky Plus'd it. thus incurring the wrath of
Here we go. So listeners, just in case you're wondering where this wrath thing is, I'm insisting the word wrath is pronounced wrath. Boyd is insisting it's pronounced wrath, which
wroth.
I think makes no sense because there's no O in it. But also, sounds to me like an American pronunciation.
Your pronunciation
is American.
Wrath.
This all started because we gently ribbed James about the fact that he says scenario.
Yeah.
And then it led to him going, oh, blah, 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 wrath. And we're like, what?
What's a wrath?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the word on Wolf and Owl this week that Tom Davis said that was Americanized and Ramesh picked it up and it was like that. It was really funny. Sadly, I can't remember what that example was. But you've become so heavily influenced by your American favorite American shows. You keep using American pronunciations, but yeah.
That upsets me. Actually, the very implication of that upsets me a lot.
Do you call everything a season now as well?
Only American shows.
Oh yes,
but also I call American streaming show seasons, even though they're not seasonal, which doesn't make any sense.
Right,
but I do. So American show season, UK show series.
Yeah, same. Yes. Same. Okay. Yeah. Well, at least we have agreement.
We have agreement on that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fine. But can we just right here, right now, draw a line in the sand and say,
it's
for the love of God, stop this erasing of shows from existence? Because regardless of whether you like a show, like even if it only has one season, it should exist for posterity.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's all down to money. Like apparently they save money because they don't have to pay the...
It's to do with residuals. Not residuals, residuals.
Well, very good.
Although for Warrior Nun, it would have been residual residuals.
Okay. But surely inbuilt into the economics of streaming services is the fact that you keep the shows on there, cancelled or not cancelled. Like, it's like the fundamental whole point of, you know, like Netflix when it first said, we're going to have a library of all the shows. To be fair to Netflix, I don't know of any examples of them getting
They've not erased
anything.
One of
their originals. I can't imagine them doing that. I really can't.
The only stuff that comes off Netflix is when they lose the right to have something on there.
Yeah, that's different, but...
Yeah.
Maybe
Paramount just needs to clear some room on their server.
See, that's it.
Yeah, maybe.
They've run out of space.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and to be fair, maybe they're just so embarrassed by how frankly shit that Grease show was. It was one of the worst things, I think, I've watched this year.
Yeah, despite having a five-bum salute at one point.
I think it's up there with Extrapolations.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because Extrapolations had episodes that weren't so terrible.
Also,
it was a different, different story each week.
It had a walrus.
And it had a talking... Was it talking
I don't
walrus?
Think it was talking.
No,
it was
talking.
A murdering walrus.
It was a murdering walrus.
It was not a talking walrus.
Yeah, it was a marauding walrus.
Yes.
And really badly CGI'd walrus.
Yeah.
Let's not go back there.
No.
Yeah.
But those are certainly out there. We're doing our best shows so far of the year, aren't we, in the next plus?
Well, so this is absolutely true. We are in the midst of, shall we say, generously, negotiations over our top 10, or top 20, actually, shows of the year so far. I fear we may have hit an impasse because I, magnanimous soul
impasse.
That I am,
drew up...
Yeah.
This is great.
What? I think he's put the wrong chip in today. What's going on?
Well, are you saying impasse?
Yes, impasse.
Are you sure this is not just the Essex in you, Boyd, coming out?
No. Listen, brilliant. I'm not from Essex. I'm from Surrey. We've reached an impasse.
I think it's an impasse.
Oh, well,
you're an arse.
I'm enjoying these. You stick with James as the saying goes, you do you, and we'll let the listeners who know how to pronounce things judge.
Fine. Perhaps this would be another segment for the live show. Where we'd just be, it'd be like, we'll call it tomato tomato. Yes. We'll just have them vote on how to pronounce things.
Top 20, the impasse.
That's it. That's it. That's going up there. I see. If anyone was listening to the most recent Pilot Plus where Boyd mispronounced something egregiously, but neither me nor Kay had the heart to pick him up on it, and now I wish I had. Please feel free to write in and remind us what that was.
I also committed a faux pas from last episode.
It's faux pas.
And what did I say? I said Boyd.
Ray Black, who is one of the stars and the music director, executive for the show Champion, the brilliant show Champion that we reviewed last week. Mm-hmm. Her name is spelled Ray, B-L-K, but it's pronounced
Black. Which I said,
and
B-L-K.
I kind of, I should have picked K up, and I should have thought, are you sure about that?
Yeah, so apologies.
There you go. Yeah, this is turning into a little special segment. Anyway, the only reason I brought up the top 20 that we're talking is because Greece and Extrapolations or whatever it was called.
Neither of them were on there.
Well, no, they won't be in there, but we could do a worse. We could do a bottom five.
Oh, that seems harsh, doesn't it?
Is that bad? Is that too Guardian?
Well, the thing
that... Because the Guardian loves doing...
The reason I never do that, and I don't do it for films, I don't do it for TV, and I would say, because if you say, these are the five worst films, all you're saying is these are the five worst films I've seen, because I guarantee there are 100 worse films than that you 100% haven't seen. Because so much dreadful stuff comes out.
TV wise, I think it's not quite so true. Because I don't think there are many things worse than Greece.
I think there are. I think there are. We may get onto some of them later in this episode.
Okay. I don't think we should do worse shows. We could do like Maddest Moment, you know, because then that would come under it.
I'm not asking for more lists to be done.
To be fair, we're never going to get through this list, because I would say that. So how we did this, we didn't vote on this greatest shows list because we thought it wouldn't work, because Kay hasn't watched any of the good shows. I don't watch Succession.
Eddie.
Oh,
so.
Hold on. What are you saying?
I, of course, by that mean the greatest shows, so Star Trek, Strange New World, The Witcher, and
What did that guy say about you? Your elite sci-fi.
Yes, elite sci-fi. You haven't watched any of my elite sci-fi. And so, but what I did was I put together a list. And on this list, I did not put in any Star Trek. I did not put in The Witcher. I was really restrained, really restrained.
Well, The Witcher hasn't started yet, to be fair. We've got to have a cut-off.
I've seen it all.
By the way, cut-off end of June. Carry on.
But then doesn't The Witcher sneak in under the radar? Because The Witcher drops, doesn't it? Will drop tomorrow.
Oh, God, you're right.
And that is the last day of June. Oh, so, God. The Witcher, number one.
Made a rock for my own back.
Yes, you have. Absolutely. And I was very, very strange, you know, and I tried to put in a lot of shows that, frankly, I don't like at all. I even put in, I'm not going to spoil it and say what it was. And then Boydie came back with his revised list, and he'd gone full, like, dirty pool and put in loads of stuff. Yeah, that's it. It's dirty pool.
What is that expression?
It's a Tarantino expression.
Oh, really?
We did a movie mastermind with Quentin Tarantino much, and we asked him something about one of his shows when it was featured in The Simpsons, and he got really pissed off because he said it was Dirty Pool, because there was no way that he could have known the answer. So that's just kind of stuck with me. Anyway, so what we're going to do is, the plan, if we can isolate this list, the plan is
I'm making
to,
it Dirty Snooker.
Dirty Snooker British, is fine. Yeah. Dirty Billiards, if you will. We're going to go through this on the next Pilot Plus. We're going to go through the list and we will argue about it live on the next Pilot Plus.
Who can wait?
Who can indeed wait for that?
These halfway through the year lists are quite mad. Have you seen Variety's film movie one they've done?
I haven't read it yet, no.
They've done the top 10 films of the year so far, and there are two Guy Ritchie films in there.
What?
I know.
Both
of the Guy Ritchie films.
I've got to be honest with you, I would not put Ruse de Guerre on my list.
Yeah, the other one, the war one with Jake Gyllenhaal, you can understand.
Yeah, that's quite decent. Well, that is quite a decent film. What's it called?
But the Ruse de Guerre
I've completely forgotten what it's called. It's the one where he's split in two halves and he's being dragged across the... Dragons. Landscape, yes.
Exactly.
It's actually quite good.
Yeah, I've seen it as well. It's great.
Yeah.
But the other Rudiger is in there. Maverick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's mad.
I might go even more Maverick for our inspired by that.
And
you know, more than one comedy
series,
half hour comedy.
That's what I'm petitioning for.
Yes. Hey, like I said, you know, I am benevolent and even handed and understanding.
A dictator, but benevolent in theory.
So, you know, we will continue this conversation over email tomorrow and thrash it out in advance of the next Pilot Plus. But none of this has helped us get to what we've been watching this week. So, Kay, let's start with you.
I have been watching Fake Profile on Netflix.
Fake Profile?
Yes. Now, this is a steamy Spanish drama. drama. You know, I've been looking for a Spanish drama to get into.
I saw them watching this on Gogglebox. Gogglebox, yes. Carry on.
Oh my God, it's so funny. I actually, when I was off sick, my friend and I, my best mate, who's half Spanish, we lived abroad in Spain. We've always wanted to find another Spanish drama to get into. And when we were in Spain, we were obsessed with telenovelas. And I'll describe this as an elevated telenovela. It's about basically a couple who meet online. One of them has set up a fake profile and is living a double life. And it's just fun. It's sexy. It is more than a little ludicrous. It is very enjoyable.
They showed a clip from it on Celebrity Gogglebox, which is a programme of Channel 4 James, in which famous people sit around watching
I've
telly.
Watched Gogglebox. Okay. I believe you made me.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
I love Gogglebox.
And the clip they showed was of this couple having sex in like a hotel room overlooking, maybe Las Vegas
or something. Oh, with the drone.
Yeah, with the drone. And also, they had a close-up of her clasping what can only be described as his butt.
Yeah, what is his buttocks?
In an extraordinary way, and it did leave...
She was getting purchase. No, the thing is...
so to speak.
Can we use butt here in the UK? I feel like it's got to be bum, hasn't it?
I mean...
It's like when people in the UK say poop. That's not a word.
Your pronunciations are so American, I would have thought you wouldn't mind.
Well, no, but I'm just saying. I'm saying if you are going to be a fascist about
bottom,
pronunciation...
Bottom.
Bottom is fine.
Bottom, all right. Anyway, bottom. It's quite...
Anyway,
posterior.
It's very racy, but it's equal ops, like, you know... Both men and women are getting their kits off, and it's hugely entertaining.
So, hang on. So, this is a show about people having sex in rooms with drones watching. I'm very confused. I was only partially listening.
It's like Naked Attraction, but in a hotel room for you.
Wow. It's like a drama version of Naked Attraction.
Yeah.
Naked Attraction with a plot.
Dream scenario.
Yes, exactly.
Serialized Naked Attraction. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's all I've been watching because I could not stop watching it.
Unless it's a case a week format, is it?
It's
not a different sex.
It's not a different position and episode.
If it's buttocks of the week, I'm not really interested. It has to be the same pair of buttocks throughout the whole serialized story.
Yeah. It did look absolutely phenomenally stupid from the clips.
There's like I said, it is ludicrous a lot of the time, but it's just so enjoyable.
Have you watched
and
the whole
also
series?
The actors, sorry?
Have you watched the whole series?
No, I've watched 6 episodes.
Yeah. Quite a lot.
Yeah. I was off sick, Boyd.
Please, no excuse
as
needed.
I swooned like a Victorian lady on my chaise longue and had to watch something. So yeah, that's fantastic. What I've been watching, James.
I in the classic podcast style.
Don't say something that you can't say.
No, I'm going to say it. It's the thing that hasn't come out yet that we may or may not be reviewing next week. But because it's season two, we may not, because James is often a fascist about doing second seasons and third seasons of shows.
Unless they're ones I like, obviously.
And unless they're like Foundation. This show, right, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's in the same week as Foundation. So obviously he's going to want us to do Foundation.
No, let's...
Because it's literally elite sci-fi of the most elite.
It is the most elite,
the most
sci-fi.
Elite sci-fi of them all.
That is true.
So the chances of this getting reviewed in that, and there's another like new show that's Jamesian as well in the same week, I think. So the chances of this show...
Is it Quantum Leap next week as well?
It's Quantum Leap next week as well, exactly. This is the After Party season 2.
Yes.
Which is... You know, The After Party. Did you watch season 1, Kate, of The After Party?
No, I didn't.
It's Tiffany Haddish comedy, which took a different genre with every episode.
Very entertaining show. It's part of this whole wave of whodunits, which I love. I can't get enough of them. You know, Knives Out, the serialized one.
What's American Horror Story.
No, the Columbo style one.
Poker Face.
Thank you. Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this was a brilliantly conceived whodunit comedy. Comedy whodunit in which all the suspects of the case, which in the first series was a death at the end of a school reunion, and the main character who died was killed was an actor, and then all of the individual suspects were given their own episode, and each episode in which they tell their story to Tiffany Haddish's detective character.
Oh,
it's told
cool.
in a genre of like a movie or TV genre. One was animated, one was a musical, etc.
Each episode is different.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
So they followed that same link with series 2, so I'm not reviewing it, but I am saying I have watched, again, the first series was very addictive, again, the second series is equally addictive, and among the genre, so it's got a new cast, except Tiffany Haddish is back, and I won't spoil how she comes back, because it's quite funny, along with Sam Richardson's character is back, playing Anique, and Zoe Chow. So there's 3 characters back from season 1. It's a new completely new mystery, and they've got new cast members including Elizabeth Perkins, Paul Walter Hauser, Vivian Wu, Ken Jeong, who's hilarious. Oh, shouldn't say anything, but he's hilarious. And Jack Whitehall, And
oh, this is what you were referring to on the last podcast.
I was referring to it on the last podcast because Jack Whitehill was a very, very busy man. He's got a film coming out as well. So yeah, I devoured quite a lot, if not all. I didn't do an entire run of it, but we may have been. I think there's 10 and I watched 4. Yeah, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're quite restrained.
Yeah, quite restrained. But we may or may not be reviewing that in the next... We'll find out in the next week. This quiz is quite a big week next week.
Did you watch any more Hijack?
I've seen all of Hijack. James and I have seen all of Hijack.
We have watched all of Hijack.
I finished like weeks ago.
I didn't. Mate. That's what I've been watching. So I went through all of Hijack in the last week and couldn't get enough of it. For those of you who will be watching it week by week, Kay is doing likewise, and we will be doing spoiler chats of every episode of Hijack as they air on Pilot Plus, which is very exciting.
There's another show before you carry on that I watched that I wanted to mention, which is this documentary, which I did kind of in brackets suggest we do. The Kanye one. Have you seen it?
No, I wanted to watch it.
Oh, it's fascinating, yeah. So it aired last night on actual TV as you're recording this on Thursday, and it's on iPlayer, of course. There's also a whole, the guy who presents it, Mobeen Azar, who did the Britney documentary, he has done a whole podcast series, like a 6 or 8 part podcast series about Kanye, yeah. Which I think goes broader on how he became who he is. Whereas this focus is very much on recent developments since he, you know, had a bid to be president. He became friendly with Donald Trump and people like Nick Fuentes, who's a notorious American white supremacist, racist, anti-Semite. Alex Jones, another conspiracy theorist, you know, currently owns hundreds of millions of pounds to families who he lied about what happened to them at a high school shooting. And he has become this this scary figure. And it's really interesting because, I mean, the actual documentary, it's kind of part what the hell is going on with Kanye, you know, are his mental health issues an excuse or an explanation for...
He's got bipolar.
He's got bipolar. So there's an interview with a woman who's got bipolar as well, and he's an expert on it and talks about that, very interesting. So basically saying, no, it's not an excuse, it's not an explanation for his rampant anti-Semitism. And there are people who've worked with... He does get access to people who work with him, both in businesses and in his kind of creative life, his music life, talking about his anti-Semitism. And it's extraordinary. When you see... one after the other, the clips of him being anti-Semitic, and then you have people talking about him. And at one point, like one of the people says, you know, do you really believe? One of the contributors says, he asked Kanye, do you really believe the Jews of the world are ganging up together against you? And he says, yes, I do. Right.
And, and that's not saying part. And then the woman like is not connected to his mental health.
No,
like, you know,
absolutely,
like
100% not
psychosis.
He's just is, you know, that's what he thinks. So yeah, it's disturbing, but fascinating.
What channel?
BBC on the iPlayer. James, what have you been watching?
I, as you know, watched all of Jack Ryan. As you know, I've seen both parts of The Witcher. I mentioned that last time. I have watched part of another fantasy series, which is upcoming. Sorry, Kay, I can't say what it is. It's very, very early. So that was quite fun. Warrior is returning to the US very, very soon. Which is exciting. I think we're going to wait a little while till we get it here in the UK.
Not Warrior Nun.
Warrior, the Jonathan Tropper show.
Yes.
Which is very, very exciting. So yeah, from the creator of Banshee, Kay.
Kay would be intrinsically excited about that.
Being the long-running Banshee fan that she is. But also Silo came to an end this week. Do you know the final episode of Silo aired?
In the real world.
In the real world, Silo came to a close with a big, big, big finale. If you have seen said finale, if you loved said finale, what you want to do right now is subscribe to Pilot Plus because we have a Silo spoiler special up now as we speak. Well, I spoke to showrunner Graham Yost and the book's author Hugh Howey, and me and Helen and John sat and chatted all about this season. It was very, very exciting.
Helen and John, eh?
Yeah, Helen and John.
Is it another one that you didn't get invited to?
Fine.
If I ever did a spoiler special, you'd be invited.
Thanks.
Unfortunately, in that particular scenario, you weren't available.
You know what I might do? I might just start doing my own spoiler specials.
You should.
Might do one for The Curse, so I get Tom Davis, the people involved in that show.
Why not?
The director, the writer. Yeah, just
you're a founding father of this podcast, Boyd. It's absolutely your right.
You can do a spoiler as well, Kay. Anything you want, do it.
Well, I had a little chat with the people from Colin.
You did?
Which
you did.
I enjoyed.
You could have done a Colin spoiler special. That would have been fine.
Yeah. I really wish we had done that.
You could get them on the phone. You could still do it.
We'll do it for season 2. We'll do something.
All right, fine. That's fine.
I've got a green light from James.
Yeah, you've got a green light to go full Colin.
I'm now fascinated by this other new fantasy show is that you've got.
Give us a clue. Go on.
Really, really far in advance. You absolutely bellend.
Yeah. You're breaking the rule.
I didn't get the screeners of Bloody yes. The Witch,
I
know. By the way.
That's I didn't
what
either.
The best part of the story is not that you didn't get the episode, it's that you specifically requested them and were denied.
Yeah. Denied!
Me too. I mean, I don't care. But
I know, listeners, I'm aware it comes across as entitlement, but when James, and this is the funny thing, so I forwarded the main message to James and they said, no, you can't, it's not available. I know it's available because I know, you know, you've fooled James. Have you not listened to James banging on about it for like months on end?
It's insulting.
I forwarded my email to James saying, it's not available apparently for me. And he literally sent me back saying, well, Fee's got it as well. Like, I was like, all right, rub it in.
I think it's because they sense that you're not a true fan. And that's what, do you know where I was before I came into the office today to do the podcast?
A Witcher convention.
I was more or less.
Not far off. There was a Witcher maze.
Yes.
On Charing Cross Road. And I went there. I went into the Witcher maze. And not only did I get accosted by a bunch of sorceresses,
fellow
which was unexpected.
Nerds.
And they asked me to use my inner signs to channel open some
portal. Oh my
God, I thought
you were going to say your inner wand. No. Please no.
Oh, and then they, and this is absolutely true, they had an LED volume type screen thing.
Oh, your favourite.
And they gave me a sword and I had to pretend I was fighting a beast.
James, no.
In
have
front
you
of
seen it on,
it's on my, it's on my Instagram story.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it won't be by the time this podcast goes out, but it is now.
Main feed.
Let me have a look. Oh God.
So I got to fight something holding a sword in front of an LED volume. So that was quite fun.
So
and then
it's slightly hypocritical knowing your thoughts on LED volumes.
Fair. And then I went to a Witcher bathhouse where they made me get into a bath. Now,
a Witcher bathhouse?
A Witcher bathhouse.
What
they had
actual?
A Witcher bathhouse. And as I sat in the Witcher bath, a bard. Yeah, there you go. See, there he is.
Oh,
Kay's looking
God,
at it now.
I'm
look,
watching.
Me with my sword.
Please put this on the main grid. Otherwise, listeners aren't going to be able to see this. The joy of this.
The joy of it.
Also, like how confidently you're like
my swordsmanship.
Yes,
you're impressed by my swordsmanship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're wafting that around with some confidence.
That's it. That's it. I'm a natural born witcher.
I don't need to see James wielding his sword. On
But yeah, so I was when I was in the bath,
in the
Witcher bath, a bard came over and I had to throw out adjectives for him to create to compose a song.
Oh, the bard!
And I think the adjectives I gave him were so difficult to rhyme because I was being a twat that he just gave up on the whole thing. And he tossed
them.
A coin to me, which I exchanged for a Witcher ice cream. Absolutely true.
I thought you said bath, and I was really...
No, I did.
It was in the bath.
There was a bathhouse. I was in the bath when the bard came over. To be fair, I should qualify saying the bath was not full of water, and I was full of clothes. So it wasn't.
God.
I didn't go full cavil.
It wasn't in the bath.
I wasn't in the bath. Well, no, it was neither in the bard nor in the bath.
Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Right, well, that's a lot to process.
Yeah, but you now have the video of me with my Witcher
sword. It's like Cluedo, isn't it? James in the bath.
With the bard.
With the bard.
And the bard.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's what I did. It was
exciting
stuff.
How many hours did you spend at this Witcher
At the Witcher maze? Half an hour, maybe.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd like 5 hours.
No, it wasn't a huge thing, but it was good. Although I saw other people there got Witcher medallions, and I didn't get Witcher medallion. So I missed my chance to get a Witcher medallion.
At least you got the thing screeners.
Maybe someone listening will send one.
It's fine, I've got one at home, but I didn't get one of this particular
thing. It's fine, I've got one at home.
Greedy.
Oh, God. Right, should we have a guest? Let's have a guest. Our first guest this week is none other than Wendell Pierce himself. You know him as The Bunk on The Wire. You know him as Robert Zane on Suits and as The Candyman, if you used to be a Third Watch fan. But he's with us this week with his CIA hat on, returning to the role of James Greer in the fourth and final season of Jack Ryan, which is available on Prime Video. Now, we sent Amon Warman to debrief Wendell Pierce thoroughly.
We'd like to welcome to the Pilot TV podcast the star of Jack Ryan Season 4, Mr. Wendell Pierce. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very good. You're making me feel very underdressed. You're out here in a suit. I'm here.
Oh, yeah, well,
I apologize.
I've had some other press today, and I'm going to the theater tonight, you know, and I'll go out on the town. So I'm trying to be cool.
Very good. Congrats on Season 4. I had a really, really good time with it. I wanted to ask you, it's now 4 seasons with the character. How has your understanding of Greer changed from the first time you stepped on set in Season 1 to the last time you stepped off it in Season 4?
It was really complete. It really shows you the advantage of doing a long-form series because you get to see more and more and more of the levels of the person, of the character. I love that we have come to the point where all the first 3 seasons, you see his intelligence work. You know the work that he do, but now you finally see the personal toll that it can take on you when it comes to his family. And that was something I learned doing the research. And so I really love that aspect of it. And that's the thing that allows you, like a good book, you get to delve into the characters and the situations a little deeper because you have the time and the long form and develop the story of the origins of relationships and broaden the storyline with different characters coming in. And more importantly, another aspect of the character life for James Greer, to see the personal toll his work has taken on him and his family.
And I know that you've worked with CIA consultants while you've been doing this show. Is there anything you've learned from them that's really shocked you? And did any of that inform your performance in season four?
The whole aspect of the family, I've learned from them. One consultant in particular that I have stayed in touch with over the years, the toll it took on his family. And I wanted to have that expressed in season four. And that's the thing that was great. The other thing that was surprised me over the 4 years and learning about the CIA is that the agency looks like the country. It really does. And they go through, there's a real effort to make sure that it looks like the country. So many officers I know were recruited at a certain point where they saw the skill set of this person and said, you know, you can come. Would you consider coming working for your country in this way? So that surprised me. You know, we have this image of, you know, some square jaw, you know, emotionally disconnected, lone wolf, you know, spy who, you know, doesn't care about anyone else, but getting the job done. Because of some hurt decisions he made in the past, he's disconnected emotionally from people. And that's not at all what officers are. You know, they are students of human behavior and have a great humanity in them that makes it really so much more interesting to portray. If you look at the humanity in the people that are actually doing the work that we're trying to depict. So that's the thing that I learned.
That is really great to hear because, you know, I was watching this show and there are certain characters who are in certain positions and there are points made as to, we don't often see a person who looks like that in a certain position, CIA director in the show. So it's good to hear that that is not just something for a TV show, but that is something that is reflecting real life to a degree. That's awesome.
Absolutely. And I you're probably speaking of the fact that you get to see a woman in the lead.
A Black woman.
And a Black woman in the lead. One of the things that I'm proud about is the development of our relationship, which is authentic. Someone, a younger officer, female, African-American, who saw me as a mentor, just by example, because I was older. But actually, we don't agree. So we're not some monolithic idea. There's tension between us. But there's an understanding that I can respect you and admire you, but at the same time, disagree with you. And then I love the comeback that I have her to her and say, yes, I'm glad you feel that way. But let me be clear. I don't work for you. So I'm very proud of the multifaceted relationship that I have with her, totally unexpected, and can say I introduced her to the prototype of the woman that she is, right? This African-American female officer who's now out of CIA. And I was so happy to put Betty in touch with her.
That's awesome.
It's a consultation. And so the authenticity was important to us. Always waited for folks to go, I don't think that's not realistic, where I can then you know, show the receipts. Yeah. Right, we have the receipts. So I think I'm very proud of that.
What was that final day like hearing Cut for the last time? And who got the most emotional? I have to know.
Who got the most emotional? I would say John. Yeah, John got the most emotional because we were all there for him, right? And so when they said Cut, he looked out and he saw production staff from the office who had come to set, all of the crew that was there, all of the cast that was there, to say goodbye to him and thank him for his leadership. Thank him for, you know, leading the show on and off camera, and just making this a very special four seasons that we did. And he was we caught him by surprise. So he was the most emotional. And then when he got emotional, that's when I let one roll. You
know? That's understandable. I'll go at you there. So there's a show called The Wire. You may have heard of it. It's kind of a staple of pop culture right now. Because it's such a staple of pop culture, I see it pop up in various different ways in the movies and the shows that I've been watching. I recently watched Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which is an animated film that I absolutely love. There's a Wire homage.
Oh, wow. I did not know. I have to go see it. I haven't seen it.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic film. You should absolutely go see it. But I'm wondering, what is the weirdest place or show or film that you've seen or heard in reference to The Wire over the years?
I cannot remember the show, but I do remember the line. The line, it was in a sitcom, and they said, man, he loves her like white people like The Wire. That was the funniest thing
I have to look this up and find out what show that came from. That is fantastic.
Yes. I just remember that. Oh, I'm wondering if somebody said that to me or whatever. I just remember that, man. That was the funniest. But the greatest experience that I have, well, the great experience is meeting people now and saying, I've waited 20 years and now I can watch the show with my son or daughter. I'm rewatching the show. That I think is great. The fact that it's being taught at universities, I think is great. And then one time Andre Royo and I were walking down the street in New Orleans, and the guy stepped in front of us as he stepped out of his apartment and screamed. I said, we were like, we know, we're on The Wire. He's like, no, you don't understand. I just finished watching it. I said, oh, thank you. Why? He said, no, you literally don't understand. Just watch the last episode and came down. And
wow.
And 2 seconds later, I met you, you know.
That is insane.
And by the way, I just figured out it's from an SNL skit.
Ah.
Yeah.
Very cool. You talked about being so immersed in your performance of Death of a Salesman to the point where you'd really lose yourself in it, that you tapped into something emotionally and physically, that you'd be essentially in the zone. How often do you get that feeling? And are there any other examples away from the stage that come to mind?
Oh, well, cathartic moments of when that happens, it's for me, moments of discovery, real moments of discovery. When you see talent in someone else, especially young people, you know, I'll all of a sudden see someone singing, hear someone singing, or read a story or an essay, and it's pretty brilliant. You know, you recognize those moments of epiphany and discovery of real authentic expression of the human spirit, right? Real, real thoughtful expression. Just recently, two girls in high school in my home city of New Orleans solved the Pythagorean theorem, 2,000-year-old mathematical problem, trigonometry, to help them solve this theorem. And with all the noise in the world, I was like, man, I remember studying that myself and all. They should be celebrated to no end. Mm. That's the last recent moment that I was just like, the epiphany of the brilliance. These two 16-year-old girls in New Orleans, the last thing I expected to happen, the evolution of the Pythagorean theorem. And that, you know, I actually wrote, you know, I hope the Nobel Prize Committee is watching this, man. I think they should be. I hope the bare minimum someone is nominating them for a Nobel Prize in mathematics. And I hope they win it. That in life, that felt like when I found that moment on stage in Death of a Salesman.
Yeah.
Those are the times in life that feeling.
The dialogue scenes in The Wire in particular stand out to me. They're so well written. David Simon is a genius. We both know this. Mm-hmm. If you could take a scene from that show and perform it on stage, which would it be? And how do you think performing it on stage might enhance it?
Well, here's the thing. Writing really good material is so difficult and so essential to drama, right? Mm. It's the thing that ignites chemistry. It's the thing, like in Jack Ryan, that brings us together, the repartee between Jack Ryan and James Greer, Mike November. People talk about that as much or more than the action. Mm. And as people look at Jack Ryan, they'll see that and understand it. That repartee and chemistry that was on Jack Ryan is the very thing that we had on The Wire. And that one scene, that one of the scenes that I think I'm proudest of and the most memorable is between Bunk and Omar in the park. That would work on stage. That would be like Betrayal, A Doll's House, or an August Wilson play, or a Chekhov play, actually, like Lepak in Cherry Orchard, when he tells Ravenskaya how much you hurt my family, that I came back and bought your cherry orchard, you know, when you saw me as nothing. And that would play well on stage, like A Walk in the Woods, a two-hander about the negotiations of the Oslo Agreement. That's what that scene would play like on stage, and would still have the same impact in Bunk.
The Wire slowly but surely gained an audience and is now rightfully regarded as one of the best TV shows of all time. Is there any project you've done that maybe isn't as well known that you're really proud of and you want more people to check out so that I can then do all the hashtags and ensure that it also becomes beloved and one of the greatest TV shows or films of all time?
The one we're talking about, Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan. We are in a golden age of television. And listen, I think we have a really large and wonderful audience, but there's still a lot of people that don't know about the show. And what I love about the show is the fact it's a travel log, not only in location, but also to learn about different parts of the world, right? Even if it's just, it sparks something in you to say, well, what is your viewpoint about this part of the world and what's happening in this part of the world? And it challenges you to say you can't stand on the sidelines anymore. It challenges you in that way. Sometimes people believe that we're just putting out a certain point of view, but that's not it at all. Like you said, you know, even in a depiction of Deputy Director Wright and me on the seventh floor running the CIA, that says something. And the fact that he's connected in all parts of the world. And that was reflected in the casting, too, because we worked with actors from all different parts of the world. And what happens is you find the common elements in your lives. There's a common ground in our humanity. And this is the only show that literally opens around the world in the same minute. In the same minutes. 200 markets around the world. I think that's fascinating. When folks in Lebanon talk to me about this show, right?
Yeah.
And then you can hashtag it also with Treme, because that's my hometown. Which, if The Wire was a visual novel, and that's what it was, Treme is a visual poem. It is nonlinear. It is beautiful. It is painful. It is euphoric. It is depressing. It tries to capture culture, that intersection of life and how people deal with it. Music, it food, and how culture has defined a community like New Orleans. And it's the very thing that brought it back. One solo at a time, one crawfish etouffee at a time, you know, one moment at a time. And that teaches you something about humanity and how we live. And the more specific you are, and uniquely specific as Treme is, it speaks to everyone, because the more specific you are, the more universal your story becomes. So those two, Jack Ryan and Treme, hashtag those out. Make sure people know about them.
I'm on it. Don't you worry. Just give me a couple of weeks. We're going to make these things blow up. Wendell Pierce, it is always an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Same here. The pleasure is always mine.
That was Wendell Pierce. And now it's time for this week's listener question. And this week's listener question is an unconventional one. So this week's comes to us from Gaz Brooks. And this is the question. It starts with a simple line. I want to play a game. That's quite sinister. Desert Island box sets. With a twist. You are going to be on an island for a year. You are allowed to take the entire run of any 5 TV shows. For the purposes of this game, all streaming media from any platform is available on physical box set to take to the island. The twist, your co-hosts are picking for you. James is picking Boyd's, Boyd is picking Kay's, Kay is picking James's. How well do you know each other? You are allowed to throw in a show you know they haven't seen and think they'll enjoy. Each host must rate out of 10 how happy they are with what they have on the island. Wow, this is quite the it's like I feel like we're on the I feel like we're on the Traitors and they set us a task and this is like a task. Mm. Who wants to go first?
Kay is making wild
gesticulating and pointing.
You forgot to do it.
I shared this in advance.
Indeed. What were you asking me to do? Like, just
send
like,
me
tell
the
me what the answer is.
No, you can't.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't totally forget because we discussed it briefly in the office. And then
you can't
I forgot
discuss
to
it.
No, as in, I said it was a great question.
Put a halt to the discussion quite
early. Good man.
I said it was a great question.
Yeah. Which you then sought to undermine and cheat.
Well, to give you time to gather your thoughts, Kay.
Yeah, fine.
I will give you my choices for your, I'm doing your Desert Island discs. And I've begun with, rather unimaginatively, Sex and the City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I'm a due rewatch because I haven't watched it in ages.
The West Wing.
Yeah.
Which you famously love. Quite late, came quite late to the party. But
all right.
We'll allow that.
Surely not later than James.
No. But
hang on, I didn't come that late to the party. I was a year late to the party.
A year. I've gone for Colin from Accounts.
Yes.
Since you won't stop banging on about it.
See,
well, that was a choice I had for James.
I would throw that out as a problem one.
Why?
Because there aren't enough episodes. You're there for a year. They're only half an hour each.
You got 3 box sets, right?
Yeah, but
five box sets.
Well, that rule was not mentioned in the thing.
I'm just chipping in. If you're going to be on an island for a year, I'm saying that. I mean, that'd get you through an afternoon.
Yeah, but that's not the point.
What you can do for another 364 days?
Well, then you watch the rest of these. Well, but the next choice I've picked, there are literally hundreds of episodes.
Okay, fine.
A fucking episode.
Carry on then.
Can you guess what it is? The next one?
Is it Friends?
No, it'll be something.
I think it'll be something old school that I like.
It's old school. Yeah.
It's not that pottery show, is it?
No. It's Poirot.
Oh my God, yes, right!
Poirot.
This is how well my favorite Boyd
knows me. You want Suchet on the island with you?
Oh, yes, God, yes, she's
of
obsessed
course.
With
I'm
Suchet.
Obsessed with Poirot and Suchet. I went to see, he's doing this talk on stage where he goes through his career, and I've been there.
Hercule
Poirot. Eh? Belgian. Crucially, not
there are
that.
30,
French.
Count them, series of Poirot.
Bloody hell.
To be fair, I think I've probably watched all of them, but I'd happily rewatch.
That's such a great choice. Hundreds of episodes. 70 episodes, in fact. So that'll keep you busy.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, in the one I don't think you've seen this yet. So I picked this one.
Okay.
There's a thing you should watch that you haven't watched yet, I don't think. Mad Men.
I've watched a little bit of it.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Because I thought, because you were saying how, you know, you haven't watched The Sopranos and Breaking Bad and all those. But I thought the one that is more you. It's not a genre thing. It's period.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's interrelationships.
I haven't watched in completion. So.
And I know you're a rampant feminist. It's got whole messages about the way women are treated back then.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
I'm happy with those choices.
So
Mad Men,
Boyd, you've done me proud.
Thanks.
Okay, how would you rate Boydie's selection for you out of 10?
Quickly run through them again.
Forgotten already.
Yeah, Sex and the City.
Yep.
Colin from Accounts. The West Wing. Poirot. And Mad Men.
Listen, I'm giving him a 9, a solid 9
out of 10. That's a decent selection.
Yeah, that's really good. That is
a decent selection.
Do you know
selection.
What that's proved to me? That all these years I say, oh, you never listen to me. Mm, you never listen to me.
He actually does listen.
Yeah. He actually does listen.
Many,
does listen.
Many things she says about me.
You don't need to go about it.
All right, Boydie, I have selected some shows for you.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Is it though?
It is a challenge.
I bag on about the same shows every week. Everyone knows that.
That is true. That is true. So I considered initially that maybe really the gift I should give to you, Boydie.
Oh, here we go.
Is shows you haven't seen.
Oh, of course. No.
I didn't do that. I considered doing it because I thought actually that would be a better gift. I'd give you, because you've seen everything. I thought I could find shows and I could absolutely do it that you haven't seen but would enjoy. Mm. But then I thought, no, you're going to be there for a year. You know, it's just you and Wilson for company, the little volleyball. You're going to need comfort shows. So you're going to need shows you actually enjoy. So I thought, okay, obviously The OA. Like, that's got to be in there. Both seasons of The OA. Not a lot of episodes, but I feel also there are a lot of layers to The OA. Mm. So you can spend a lot of time watching it and pondering it and thinking about it. And also, when Prairie's in, you know, contained in the little glass booth, that's how you'll be feeling on the island. So you'll be like, you'll be relating to her a lot more.
I think there'd be more freedom.
Because you'll be there for a year, you'll have time to learn all of the movements.
That's true.
And practice them to take you to another dimension to get you off the island.
Very, very
Do you know
true.
What I mean? Yeah. So I've thought this whole thing through. Yep, I've cracked it open. Okay, I've cracked it open. Coming. So the OA.
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking either Frasier or Seinfeld. It's got to be one or the other. Mm. I'm going to give you Seinfeld because I think deep down you know you like that one more.
Yes.
I don't know which one has more episodes, but I'm going to say it's probably Seinfeld.
Do you know what? I think it actually might be Frasier in the end, because I think Seinfeld was 9 seasons. I think Frasier went on to a 10th season, I'm pretty sure. And also, Frasier had lots of episodes right from the start, where Seinfeld's early seasons are only like handfuls of episodes, 10, 6, 10. So I think there are more seasons of Frasier.
I still think Seinfeld is the way to go.
Yeah, do you know what? Funny enough, coincidentally, I just did a podcast. Someone has launched a new podcast about, which is your top 10 TV choices. And I did the inaugural one and I picked Seinfeld over Frasier in that.
Okay, so I chose wisely.
Yeah.
There you go. That's an excellent bit of insight here. I've done a swerve for the next one. Well, because I thought I wanted a tonal shift. I didn't want to be too obvious. So I've gone with The Night Of. The Night Of. Yeah. A little bit of a palate cleanser, something slightly different. It is a bit short, but I feel like tonally, that takes you to a different place, which I don't think is a bad shout. Then I had a bit of a dilemma. I thought, I should just make him watch Breeders. I should put Breeders in there.
I was tempted to put that down on my list.
So he would have to watch it all and finally come around to my way of thinking. He'd watch it again and again. And eventually he'd come back from the island and be like, do you know what, James, you're absolutely right. But I didn't put Breeders down because I thought, do you know what? He's going to be on this island for a long time. And one of the things you're going to have with these shows is you're going to find that like thematic, again, you're back on the tonal stuff. You're going to find watching the same stuff over and over again is going to be a bit samey. You want something with a lot of variety. So I was thinking you're going to need an anthology. So I was thinking either Inside Number 9 or Black Mirror, because again, there's so much diversity in there and difference in there.
I think Inside Number 9.
Well, see, that's what I went with. I went with Inside Number 9 because I thought Black Mirror, I mean, he's on his own. He's on an island with a volleyball.
Freak out.
He's not, doesn't want to be like miserable as well. So I thought Inside Number 9, while it's dark, it's also funny. So I thought Inside Number 9 was the choice there.
Yeah, decent shout, yeah.
And for my final choice, you're stranded on an island. You're going to be there the whole time. I realise that I've made a rod for my own back here in terms of your approval, but I've put Lost on there. And the reason I put Lost on there is because I think you'll rewatch it and you'll reappraise it because you'll be trapped on an island. So you'll be like living the show. And I feel in that environment, it might be exactly what you need.
The only problem with that is that news story we did recently about the showrunners being so horrible to people on the set of Lost.
They will not be on the island with you.
But that's put me off even more. It's just a nasty taste around Lost.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
so I think you might have thrown that away.
I fucked it.
You fucked it.
Was I doing well until that point?
Doing very well. The other four, totally, yeah. Yep. And so Number 9 is a really good shout because, you know, I think it's one of the most undervalued TV phenomena of our times. Yeah, it's just brilliant. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Underrated. I don't think it's underrated.
Well,
I think it flies under the peak TV radar.
Because it's because it's so successful. It's been going on for so long now. You know, literally
people take it for granted.
Eight series of it, you know, thus far with the ninth and final coming. It's just people are used to it as the thing that's in that, and then they don't. Whereas I think, you know, it is one of the best things.
Can I pitch an idea for Inside Number 9, 9th season?
Yeah.
They have one episode, maybe it's the last one, where it stars Bree Shearsmith. And as themselves, and they're making the show, and it's inside
oh my God,
number 9.
That is brilliant. And the studio, yes, yeah,
and they're
nine,
on the show, and it's them making the show, you know, and that's what it's about.
Well, they kind of have done that already in a way, because the Halloween one was a bit like
kind
that.
Of, kind but of. Not as themselves playing sure. themselves making the show.
I actually asked them this. I said, you know, because they do love a meta. I mean, the one they did this year, which is one of the reasons why it's got to be in our top 20. We should talk about next week of TV so far this year, with the fake out, fake quiz episode, yeah. which they created a whole other spoof episode for.
Yeah, yeah.
But I asked them if they were going to, for the 9th one, go even more meta than they've ever done before. And they were like, probably we will in some way. So something like that.
Do you think that's still my idea?
Yeah.
I think that's what they're doing.
I mean, I'm sure they'll give you the kudos you want.
I hope so.
Yeah. but yeah, it's in the brilliance of the show is that they do that kind of thing. Yeah. But it was all going very well until Lost.
Really?
And they lost me on Lost.
I've lost you on Lost.
Yeah.
I should have stuck with Breeders.
You should have stuck with Breeders, absolutely. I would have been infuriated if Lost had to watch Lost on a fucking desert. Also, it underlines the whole horror, doesn't it, of being on the fucking desert island. It's that's a mad choice, James. The more I think about it, the more bonkers that choice
that's
is.
That's the first thing that pops into my head. What would you give his? What would you score
I think
him?
It's going to have. I would say it would have been like an 8.5, you know. But then Lost came along. It goes down to 7.
James, you spooned it at the last
denied.
Moment.
Yeah. Denied. All right, Kay, you've had time to prepare since you did fuck all before the actual podcast. Come on, what's your lovingly prepared selection of shows for me to watch on my desert island?
Okay, fine. We start with Game of Thrones.
First base, but yes, solid choice. There's
You love Game of Thrones. You said yeah, you wanted to
Is it being that? It's saying it's too obvious.
No, talk me through your thinking. Like, show you're working.
Oh, God. Because you'd said recently, I remember you saying that you'd like an opportunity to sit down and watch it all again.
It's true.
Yeah.
So that was it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I mean, does it need
there
to
are
be
a lot
any more
of episodes as well.
Exactly. And what more reason do you need? Like, you want to rewatch it again? I'm giving it to you to rewatch.
Yes. That's
you
good.
You're great.
Yeah, 100%. But I would take that. That is one of the shows that I would select myself.
Okay. Cool. I thought that was the objective of this. Anyway. So, the next choice would be Star Wars, The Bad Batch series Elite. No, not that. Wait a minute.
What?
No. I was reading something else. Star Wars 50th Anniversary TV and Movie Collection, Blu-ray.
Hang on. What?
You've gone off the deep end.
Star Trek. Did I say Star Wars?
Yes. Oh, God.
Star Trek. Sorry, I was like, why are they getting so, like, up?
But did you just say the movie collection?
Star Trek 50th Anniversary TV and Movie Collection. Forget the movie. You don't have to watch the movie.
Okay, all right, fine. For the sake of madness, what is included in this box set?
Oh, I think you got some posters there, James. You can find like a nice palm tree to stick one of them on.
Okay, but literally, what does it read us out? What does it entail? What's on this box set?
It's so fussy. All right. Wait. Let me just see. Scroll down for the bloody information. It just says the description,
yes.
Star Trek 50th Anniversary TV and Movie Collection.
There's got to be more information than that.
Description. Go on, look at that.
30 discs, by the way.
All right, 30 discs are good.
God, it's really badly designed, so it doesn't really tell
you. It literally doesn't tell you what's in there. Zoom in on the picture. It must say on the actual illustration. It must say, must be something on the box.
Yeah.
That explains what is in it.
Why are you so outraged by it?
Here we go. Right, Boydie, come on, help me out.
Celebrate 50 years of the original 5-year mission, the biggest, most comprehensive Star Trek collection ever released on Blu-ray, that blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
It includes the original series.
Right.
Animated series.
Okay.
Star Trek and all the films.
Right.
So basically, it's the OG series and all the films.
Oh, you fucked it.
Which is,
You fucked it.
You didn't like the animation?
I don't like the OG series.
Yeah, famously.
So I don't like the OG series. I don't like the animated series. I enjoy the films, but they're disqualified because they're films.
I thought that was a no-brainer.
No.
And even worse, there's the animated series.
You stacked it.
Disaster.
Oh, gosh. And I called it Star Wars. Okay,
and you called it Star Wars. It's a disaster from top to bottom. Right, okay, that's your second choice. Number 3.
Right. The Expanse.
Thank God.
That's a given.
Safe ground.
Yeah,
okay,
safe
fine.
Ground.
But the whole point is these are obvious because we know what each other likes.
The amount of thought I put into yours.
Well, I'm just doing on the hoof. So.
I'm in the OA.
I think you find it's a hoof.
He's not even joking. Colin from Accounts. Now, I've chosen that because I think you would like to rewatch that over and over again. It'll make you happy.
See, I'll wait till you finish the list before I finish.
He's already put it on enough episodes. You stacked it again.
No, but he's got Game of Thrones.
I'm not arguing. He's already said there aren't enough episodes when
this
I picked
was a
it
bad
for you.
Question, because James should obviously choose for himself. Because
you could have. But what I love
anything.
Is you could have changed that, knowing that he's already made the point.
No, I've made my decision. That's why. I won't be.
All right. What's number four?
I wouldn't be influenced by him. Okay, fine. Well, I was going to choose. No, I'm just going to go for the easy option, West Wing.
Uh huh. Okay, good. That's solid.
That's the last option. That's it.
So you didn't do a fifth one?
Yeah, I said Game of Thrones, Expanse, Star Trek, Colin from Accounts. And West Wing.
Okay, that's fine.
It's the Star Trek box set that's thrown us.
Yeah, that's right. Which is, it was disqualified.
By the way, heavily skewed to films, but you know.
Wow.
I was trying to be helpful by finding the Amazon link. Turns out that was the wrong move. I actually wanted to watch something completely like that you wouldn't
see. I'm surprised you didn't say, do you know what? I'm going to put Succession on there because you'd have made me watch it.
Yeah.
And the cringe is something I maybe could have got over the course of a year. I could have gone through all of Succession and finally come off that island and been like, do you know what? I'm on board. Yeah, I'm a Successionite.
You know what? I've really cocked up.
You have.
And I'm going to take back Star Trek.
Right.
And we're shoving in Succession.
It would have also chimed in with Brian Cox's theory, was that, you know, he's got this theory that the ending of Succession is really him, his character, Logan Roy, on a desert island somewhere just having a lovely time, and not that he faked his own death, etc., and he didn't really die. That's one of his...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there you go.
I would like that to be the ending.
I am Logan Roy in this scenario, yeah. I'm assuming.
I mean, right, okay. In many ways.
In this scenario. In this scenario. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I was trying to do that on the hoof.
Right, go on then. What'd you give
okay.
it out of 10?
Five.
Five?
Oh, I'm sorry. I think that's fair.
You're shambolic.
Yeah.
I think the Star Trek thing let me down.
You think? Okay, right. Okay, fine.
I was tempted to give him The Traitors to watch because I thought actually he would get into
it. I think I'd have quite enjoyed The Traitors on a desert island. I feel like that's the kind of stuff where if you're on a desert island...
Look, it's on the list. I wrote it down.
Yeah, I could have maybe got on board with The Traitors.
Yeah. It's been verified by Boyd's eyes.
Well, we've established Kay doesn't know me at all, which is extraordinary. Thank you, Gaz Brooks, for that particular question. That was quite a bit of fun. If you would like your question read out on this or indeed on Pilot Plus, do send them to us via DM at Pilot TV Pod on Twitter or Instagram, or straight to me, which frankly makes my life easier, at James C. Dyer on Instagram.
That was such a great question, and still I fucked it up. Sorry.
You did, but you know, fair play to you for in no way preparing.
I really thought, when I saw, oh, I've got James, I thought, oh, that's easy, Star Trek Expanse.
Oh, it's the Star Wars box set. And then did you start mentioning the Bad Batch at one point? I was like, what is she doing?
Why? Because there was an advert for a T-shirt.
Oh my God, wow.
The wheels came off. Sorry.
I mean, if the wheels were ever on, they definitely came off. Let's go to news. Where, I mean, obviously we've already done a little bit of news. Some stuff's been cancelled. Some stuff's come back.
For me, there's one news story of the week this week.
Okay.
I've been waiting for this moment.
Yes, I know what it is.
When this news plopped on Monday, 10:07 a.m. into our inboxes.
Sock it to him.
This story, this announcement. BBC announced filming has begun on a brand new series based on The Famous Five.
Oh,
Famous Five, created by Enid Blyton, one of the most, like, famously kiddie friendly, lovely, cozy, old fashioned.
Only a slightly bit racist.
Albeit a slightly bit racist because of the attitudes of the time. And here goes the press release. BBC has confirmed brand new series has begun filming, created and produced by Nicholas Winding Refn of. Nicholas Winding Refn, perverse, gory, sex-obsessed,
I'm looking
nudity.
For the bit where George goes on an absolute tear and butchers a bunch of people.
Exactly. Drive. These are Nicholas Winding Refn's films, don't remind you. Drive, The Neon Demon, Only God Forgives, barely watchable, some of them. And his TV shows, by the way, Copenhagen Cowboy, even more demented, sick, twisted, perverse, violent, often sickening violence, self-indulgent. I mean, he is probably one of the most maverick film directors alive today.
Why has the Enid Blyton estate allowed
it? It's fucking bonkers. So, then you get into the detail, and he says, there's a quote from him. Nicholas Winding Refn, creator and executive producer, says, "All my life I fought vigorously to remain a child." A child, the wording is hilarious, with a lust for adventure. By reimagining the Famous Five, I'm preserving that notion by bringing these iconic stories to life for a progressive new audience, blah, 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 blah. What a fantastic new story. I genuinely can't think of a more mismatched coming together of talent and project.
It's like if they said Pingu's coming back, directed by David Lynch.
Exactly.
It's like, what?
Exactly. And I actually thought it might have been a joke. I genuinely thought this could be, because it's quite funny. It's literally like you'd think up a sketch on a comedy sketch show. I tweeted about it and I got, it's one of my most heavily rotated tweets ever with people coming up.
That boy is a humble brag.
That's a humble brag. That is. It was. I mean, but the funny thing is about it is, well, you really learn a lot about, there's a small coterie of kind of like hipster people who reminded me, and this is true, he did direct a couple of episodes of Miss Marple. Back in the day. Yeah. You're literally talking getting on for like 14, 15 years ago. And he's talked about how he needed the money, but also, you know, he was happy to get his directing spurs on a long-running TV show. A load of people were like, well, he did Miss Marple, you know. Literally, one person literally said, oh, it's not that surprising. I was like, hold on. It fucking is that surprising, you absolute bellend. I know he directed two episodes of Miss Marple 15 years ago. It does not mean that him creating a new series with the Famous Five is not absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I just say, when you started, I didn't think that was the new story that you were saying. I was like, suck it to him. I was so excited.
What
were you thinking?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to reveal that Sky had announced that Breeders was going to launch its fourth and final series in October.
Yeah, I was coming to that.
And I thought that's Breeders what you were going to say.
Yeah, Breeders News.
Look at his face.
James has gone mad.
Yeah. How do you like them apples, James? Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to editing that particular episode where we discuss it.
Well, I'm here as an adjudicator now.
I think you might need to be. We might actually record our reviews independently in separate booths.
Yes, no, that was next on my list, I have to say. Yeah, but there is actual news of that because the final 10 episodes. There's a new cast member playing, new actor playing their son who's now 18, and there's a 5-year time jump.
Oh wow,
which is interesting in itself. So yes, we'll be looking forward to that.
Yes,
we're looking forward to when I, in quotes, go in off the deep end.
I mean, so you say that, but I will release the unedited cut of the last episode.
I wasn't involved in any part of this. I wasn't on the pod. I just remember the fallout from it afterwards, and I was like, "What the
release
hell happened?"
The
and
obviously, I was
The Breeders cut.
Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, that was huge news, huge Breeders based news. Fantastic.
You know what we didn't mention on this podcast last week, which we probably should have done, is that Linda Hamilton is going to be in the next season of Stranger Things.
Yes, that is exciting.
Stranger Things 5 stars Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, that is exciting. Yeah. From Terminator.
Yeah.
Fame.
Yes, yes indeed.
In case people didn't know.
Yeah. You
know,
and Murray Bartlett's going to be in season 2 of 9 Perfect Strangers.
Is 9 Perfect Strangers the one...
Leanne Moriarty?
Yeah, isn't the one where Nicole Kidman was like a wellness...
Which wasn't very good.
Well, I didn't finish
it. It was disappointing.
For that very reason,
I didn't even know there was a second season.
No, well, there is.
Because it was based on a book, wasn't it?
It was.
By Leanne Moriarty.
Also, 10 Perfect Strangers was right there.
Right, but she hasn't done another book in this.
I don't think so.
Oh, so this is a bit like what was the other Nicole Kidman thing that went on to 2 seasons? Even though
the Big Little Lies.
Yeah, it's
not
like
Pretty
that,
Little Lies or something.
That was
else.
Good though.
That no, it was different because that was good. The second season wasn't as good as the first.
No,
but it's interesting that she's doing another show that is, you know, going beyond the original.
Also,
novel
Leanne Moriarty.
Right, exactly. But that is interesting. But I love Murray Bartlett though, so that's exciting.
It is.
The Bear, season 2.
Yes.
Exclusive to Disney. It's going to launch on Wednesday, the 19th of July.
It's already aired in the States, hasn't it?
Yes, it's arrived on mostly in the States, but I think they're waiting. When it arrives here on Disney Plus, the whole series will be available.
Yes.
Which I don't think is the case when it went out in the States. I think.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I do not know. But that's nice. The Bear, all covered in hair.
But the biggest, most important, if you're talking release dates, though, the most important announcement of the year.
Oh, God.
Is. No, you'll agree with this, I think.
Really?
Just wait. Patience is a virtue, you impatient twat. Disney Plus has confirmed that A Murder at the End of the World, the new series previously known as Retreat, from Britt Marling and Zalbat Manlij of the OA fame, will arrive in the UK on August 29th. Day and date with America. So yeah, that is exciting, isn't it, James?
That is exciting. Yes, I will give you that.
Thank you.
That is very exciting.
And kudos, because I've complained before when Disney Plus takes too long to air a show that has already aired in America. They're going day and date with America. That is very exciting. And we'll get to see what the hell the show's all about. Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, Harris Dickinson. What a fucking brilliant cast. Britt Marling herself, Alice Braga, Joan Chen. Honestly, and this looks like it's a whodunit set in a remote location. I mean, it's literally like made for me.
The only thing is, it's not on a plane.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Pretty much. Or maybe I'll have a plane element.
Maybe there'll be a plane.
Because they have to get to the end of the world.
There could be a plane.
Remember?
Plane to the end of the world.
So yeah, fantastically exciting news there.
Paramount Plus have also announced that they're going to be filming a four-part UK original series called The Serial Killer's Wife, starring Annabelle, I'm going to say Scully from The Split. Do you remember her?
Yes.
She's great. Jack Farthing, and also my favourite, Luke Treadaway. So I'm excited
about
that.
You do love a Treadaway.
Mm-hmm. My favourite brother. and possibly in the most exciting news of all, James, I'm focusing on you.
Oh.
Graham Norton has been announced as the new host of Wheel of Fortune on ITV.
I didn't even know Wheel of Fortune was in the UK.
Yes, you remember the
It's an American show, isn't it? I didn't know it was over here as well.
I
had no idea we had it over here.
Yeah.
With Nikki Campbell, you know, back in the day.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is probably the most un-James news story you could possibly have.
Yeah, I know.
Created.
I was doing it as a joke.
No,
I didn't genuinely think he would.
No, I mean, I know. But
well, frankly, after your Desert Island offerings, who knows what you intend or not.
And watch your box set of Wheel of Fortune.
The majority of my choices were sound. It was just that one threw everything off.
I'm going to use this news section for two shout outs to people who. So one is Ashman reminded me on Twitter in a direct message that he suggested we review The Swarm, which I mentioned last
week. Did he?
Yes, like in May, way back in May, saying, how about a review of The Swarm? I keep seeing advertised on Sky. Is it any good, I wonder? Well, I think it is good, yes. So thanks, Ashman. Thanks for the reminder. And the other one, which remember last week, I mentioned that the Orville suggest a funny episode of The Orville.
And you've forgotten.
And I forgot who did suggest one, but Constantine_1987 said, you're asking for a comedic episode of The Orville, check out season 1, episode 9, Cupid's Dagger, which guest stars Rob Lowe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to take him up on that suggestion.
You're going to watch another Orville?
I'm going to watch another Orville. Yeah.
Kay, will you be joining him?
Probably not.
No.
But I'd like to give a couple of shout outs if that's what we're doing. Just very quickly, I just want to shout out Kaz Roberts, our friend and colleague, the art queen at Grazia, who was very kind about the podcast just before we came to record and said how weird it was, not weird it was, how funny it was that you went to an event last night and she knows more about you than you know about her because she's such an avid listener and she's a fan of the pod. So I just want to say thank you.
All I can do to her is apologise for having to sit by me during an awards dinner last night, which I can't emphasize enough, we did not win.
No, but fair
enough. Taking
maybe next year you should enter this podcast.
Well, I have entered this podcast for an award this year, boy.
Yeah, but you didn't enter it for that.
Not for for that particular one. I have entered us for an award this year.
Podcast a free run.
Yes, that was it. Well, the thing is, I just thought, well, if I entered Pilot, we'd just win. And like, who needs that?
Of course.
And I just thought Empire needed a chance. So we cleared the way so that they would have a chance. And, you know.
You used that semi-comedic line on the Empire podcast, I think it was last week. And the outburst of laughter from Chris Hugh, I've never heard more literally spitting his tea out with the idea that we might have managed to triumph over the Empire podcast
in
an awards thing. Yeah.
He's going to get
The fact that we are holders of the Publisher Podcast Awards inaugural Best Entertainment Podcast.
Well, I think there's been another one since then.
There has, but we didn't enter those.
No, we didn't.
And we won that, and Chris didn't.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
You go.
So, have you, Chris?
No.
Yeah, that's right.
Also, just I want to say, Maggie May on Twitter was very sweet. She's messaged me about the bake-off. She's very... Can I read you? She said, I'm very stressed out about your bake-off at the Pilot TV Podcast live show. As a good amateur baker, my advice is to read your recipe multiple times before you start. And if you need a recipe, you can never go wrong with Nigella. She's never failed me. You can message me, tweet me if you need anything. She's really stressed for me. And then what's even sweeter, Nigella tweeted back.
What?
So, listen.
You kept this quiet. Hold on.
Nigella making your cake?
No, to be fair, she tweeted Mel to say thank you for recommending one of her recipes. But still, I think now I've got... She's in my arsenal now.
Could I just say, Arsenal has nothing to do with this. Name me another sort of like celebrity chef that I could have
Hollywood
as a ringer. I think that might be too obvious.
Well, Nigella's quite obvious.
She is quite obvious.
She's a great
Jamie
baker.
Oliver.
Jamie Oliver.
Prue.
But is Jamie famous for the baking? I know he does a lot of like,
not just
food,
baking,
but is he? I mean, but, you know, how good is his cake game? I
think better than yours.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the bar is low.
Oh, good enough.
What about Mary Berry?
Mary Berry, I would say if Mary Berry is listening to this podcast, I know obviously she is.
Yeah,
and you want to be my ringer and help me with the old cake? You know, drop us a line. At James E. Dar on Instagram.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Well, you, so we can...
This started off as a nice shout-out to someone exactly. who supported me in my baking
endeavor. It occurred to me. So I was thinking about this the other day, because obviously I you know, need to organize the live show. One of the things I'm now most stressed about is having to learn to bake for this show. Oh, I don't know why.
It's really stressful. Yeah,
It's been stressing me out a lot.
You, hang on, why is it stressing you out? You're like the famous Boydie Blondies are apparently a thing. So
I'm really worried about
this. I can't remember how I did it. So
My biggest fear is making one of you two sick.
Is that a fear or a goal?
Yeah. Don't make the judge sick, obviously.
Yeah, I was about to say, yes, old Craig Bakes is going to be there. And you know, that's going to go badly.
Okay. God, I take... Well, we're going to have to just go away and think about it.
Okay.
I've got to phone Nigella.
There's going to be a lot of thought. Mary, drop me a line. Are we done with news?
Yes.
We're done with news. Okay, shall we segue seamlessly into reviews? And we begin this week with Then You Run on Sky and Now. This is adapted by the Captures Ben Shannon from the book You Know Not That One by Zoran Dvenkar. And this sees a group of London teenagers on the run through Rotterdam while being pursued by Richard Coyle and a serial killer as well. Boydie, did James. You run away from this?
I ran towards it at
you
great
did.
Speed. This is a weird one because...
Isn't it?
Yeah. Right. So it's part... If you've seen the trailer for this, and they showed the trailer quite a lot on Sky, it feels like it's a kind of like teen comedy drama about four young women wanting to go on a summer holiday together and get embroiled in a situation with some drug dealers. And it's like a chase, almost comedy thing, caper kind of thing. But it's also... a serial killer thriller.
Yes.
The first scene, not a spoiler, it's the first scene.
Yeah.
Is killing.
Oh, also is incredibly upsetting.
Incredibly upsetting. Mm. What the fuck is going on? I was not expecting that.
No.
And then...
And also so dark, you can barely see what's happening.
Oh my God. Very, very dark. I had to turn up the brightness
so did I.
On my MacBook Air to the maximum to see what the fuck was going on. When you're watching it on your full TV screen, you're at my 78.
Oh God.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Brian.
But it's really, disturbing, shocking. And what the fuck has this got to do, by the way, with the main story?
I genuinely thought I was watching the wrong show.
Same, absolutely. Yes, similar, same thing. So that's weird. And it's also kind of like a gangster drug dealing kind of thing going on in Rotterdam. but you know what I did? Then I thought, this is so mad. I just wonder what elements of the original German novel by that Zoran Dvenkar, is that how you pronounce it?
Sure.
Dvenkar. I was thinking, you know, is maybe Ben's brought in the serial killer element, you know, to give it, you know, add to the mix, to make it, to stir it all up and to make it more interesting than just being, you know, four teenage girls on the run from drug dealers. But no, that's all in the original novel.
I looked it up.
And he makes the statement, the writer. I found this like statement he made about why did you write this book? Where did the ideas come from? And all of the madness that's in this first episode, I've actually watched two episodes now of this show, are there all present and correct in the original book that Ben's adapted. So it's a mad commingling of genres. Mm. And the thing that people are going to say about it is that tonally it's all over the place. But as I always hate that criticism. It's such an obvious thing to say about anything. I actually like genres being commingled and tones moving around. If you handle it well, then it's fine. I think they handle it really well in the show, I have to say. It's mad. It's weird. I think the serial killer element is genuinely creepy and weird and scary. Mm. And that continues in episode two, by the way. It's not just a one-off structural thing that starts with a mad flashback to serial killing. It does it again in episode two. And the four main characters, led by Leah McNamara as Tara, she's like the main one of the teen girls that we get to know in the first episode.
She's the reason why they go to Rotterdam.
Yeah, because her dad. Yeah. So her dad's in Rotterdam, who's like a music, he's a jingle maker. Again, that's in the original novel. That was his job in the original novel. So he's like a creative figure, and you're like, he's in this massive, lavish house in Rotterdam.
Nice house.
Yeah, we'd love to get
it. It is a nice house.
Great architecture porn, yeah. But they're estranged, but she's going over to see him so she can bring her mates to stay with them. And you meet he's got a weird girlfriend as well, who's kind of passag or just ag. Mm. So the cast's really interesting. I particularly liked Cillian O'Sullivan's Oren, her dad, and the brother of the character played by Richard Coyle, who's this psychopathic drug dealer. And there's the serial killer is known as the Traveller, by the way, played by Christian Rubeck, in a genuinely disturbing performance. I thought the performances are all good. It's really well cast. It looks great. It's shot in a very interesting kind of stylized way. It's quite bewildering in many ways, but I enjoy a bit of bewilderment. And it's one of those things where you have to piece it all together and see how all the different things, particularly how the serial killing is connected to these four girls and the caper that they go on. I thought it was really good. I really liked it.
I agree. I mean, I was a bit bemused by the mashup.
Yeah.
I'm probably less accommodating of it than you are, but
yeah, I'm a little with you on that.
But I did like it, and I really like the fact that it's really sort of championing new talent. The four female leads are all relatively up and coming stars, and I think they all do a really good job. The others were played by Vivian Opara. We have Yasmin Monet Prince and Isadora Fairhurst.
Yes, thank you. I should have named those people as well.
And Vivian Opara, who we should point out is extremely good in Rye Lane.
Yes, and I think a lot of the dark comedy actually stems from their sort of fun-loving friendship, and they've got really great chemistry together. You know, their banter and they sort of like cutting put downs and stuff, and unswerving loyalty, which is a part of this because they all kind of have to stick together when a big bad thing happens. So that was the real draw for me. But yeah, I thought it was good drama.
There's funny stuff, isn't there, with what, like, they, you know, they kind of pick up a spoken word poet kind of thing. There's some of the doofus dudes in it,
yeah.
Quite well,
because that kind of goes towards this tonal mishmash, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You've got really dark serial killer stuff, which is genuinely upsetting, like really quite unpleasant.
Yeah,
not in that it's gory, but just quite disturbing. Then you've got this kind of crime stuff, which again, there's torture. There's also the crime stuff hits quite hard.
Yeah.
And then you've got this sort of very dark sense of humor, and then you've got straight up just funny bits as well.
Yeah,
it's a strange thing. My main issue here is that
Tonal mishmash?
No, not even that. It's the bell end problem. They're dreadful.
Oh.
All the girls are dreadful. No, absolutely. No. I hated all of them. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't stand any of you. Like, they drove me out. I thought they're awful to each other.
Certain team behaviour.
I did not enjoy that.
James, were you ever a teenager?
I was delightful.
Did you skip to that?
I was a delightful teenager.
To be fair, he wasn't, as far as we know, a teenage girl.
Well, listen, I don't want to rule anything out, but
I didn't think they were that bad.
They failed the bell end test. I've not brought up the bell end test in a very long time.
Have you passed the bell end test? Of
interest. No, never.
This podcast doesn't pass the bell end test, but no, it does not pass the bell end test.
Oh dear. No, I didn't think they were that bad. I quite liked some of them.
But it's
I think more of their interaction, by the way. You don't actually you see a bit of their interaction in episode one.
Yeah.
But you see more in episode two.
Yeah, because they're separated for a lot of
time. Yeah, I think you might
they might grow on me a bit.
Yeah, once they're on the run and they're fleeing for their lives, basically, they're
lols are plenty.
Yeah, there are more perhaps more likely.
Well, the serial killer thing sucked me in because it seemed so odd. I really want to know how these stories intertwine.
Yes.
It was interesting. I just wish I'd not disliked the characters quite so much.
Okay.
But that is Then You Run, which lands on Sky Max. When, Boydie?
And now, Friday,
on
the 7th of July, 9 p.m.
9 p.m. Indeed.
All available as a box set, as I believe all Sky original dramas are.
Excellent. Next up this week, we have A Thin Line on Paramount Plus, which follows two sisters on a mission to expose eco-crimes, only to hack a government server and be forced to face the question, what line are you willing to cross for something you believe in? At least that's what the IMDb synopsis says. I wouldn't actually know because I haven't seen it. Now, I should say this.
You crossed a line, James.
Before our favourite listener leaves us another snarky review about how disrespectful I am, this was not, in fact, because I had ceiling to paint, although I did paint my banisters on the weekend, but rather, that's not a euphemism. Not a euphemism. Not a euphemism. Actual banisters. But, you know, this was because they refused to give me screeners. I asked for screeners. They gave you screeners, Boydie. They gave you screeners, Kai.
It's The Witcher all over again.
It's The Witcher all over again. I asked for screeners. They did not give me screeners.
We didn't get The Witcher, the new series of one of the most popular shows on all of streaming. We did get an obscure German serial about eco people.
Do you think it was my stance on subtitles? They were like, no, you can't have it. That's it. Yes. And they refused to give it to me.
F you.
Perhaps that's what it was. All right, fine. But that aside, Boydie, which side of said thin line did you fall on?
I'm doing this one as well.
You are.
Okay. This is a German TV series about two twin sisters, not identical twins, just twins, called Anna and Benny Kron, who are cyber activists and hackers, or one might say cyber hacktivists.
Hey!
Who are kind of trying to stop the government and members of the government doing bad things to the environment. Mm. Literally, like, they're trying to save forests, and they're kind of, they're getting, one of them, the Benny one, is getting more and more kind of extreme and into kind of like, you know, trying to blackmail politicians, expose politicians, maybe even use their, you know, what's out there online, or even stuff that we don't know about, compromising pictures, etc. Whereas her sister Anna is the more reserved kind of
level-headed
of the two of them, and it kind of gets out of hand towards the end of the first episode, to the extent which they kind of face a big crisis, and the one who's gone a bit bonkers, Benny, is clearly going to go even more mad and get involved with environmental terrorism. Basically, I think there's no other word for it. Whereas, look at me like that. Whereas Anna, her sister, is like, "Whoa, we're going too far." So there's kind of a rift develops between these two sisters. Oh my God, this is heavy going.
Yep.
Honestly.
Do you think Paramount did me a favour?
Oh, yeah, honestly, James, you would have not liked this.
You escaped lightly. Yeah. Because, first of all, I mean, talk about not surviving the Belen test. Anna's fine. She's kind of like just a bit boring, really. For an eco-hacktivist, she's a bit like blah. She doesn't really contribute much.
Played by Saskia Rosendahl.
Right. Her role is to kind of like rein in her sister, her crazy sister, Benny. But oh my God, honestly, James, Ben, this character, she is one of the most irritating people, characters on TV for a long time for me. She's like all four of those teenage girls.
Oh my God.
Yeah. In Then You Run, put together, and more so, she's so annoying, spoilt. Like, at one point, she just breaks out in tears because of something that might not happen in a forest. Now, I'm not trying to say that, you know, environmentalists aren't doing a good job, a good thing. Obviously, I'm pro-environmentalism, but she's like watching her burst out into tears. Well, by the way, she's with her parents in their massive mansion somewhere, wherever the fuck they live in Germany. It is.
She's highly strung and highly emotional.
Highly strung,
and highly annoying.
Highly irritating in every single way. I could not bear her at all. I cannot say any more about how unbearable she is. So, I mean, there's no way on God's green earth I'm going to carry on watching this thing. But, you know, it's kind of like, it's filmed in a quite, it's like an indie movie kind of.
Yeah, there's some nice scenes in the forest, the lighting and the way it's shot.
Yeah, nice scenes in the forest. God, no. This
was like, it was heavy, it was dense, it was boring. I just echo everything Boyd said. I think James had an easy out this week.
I'd like to send my personal thanks to Paramount Plus for not sending me screeners.
Also, do you know what? I really like the opening sequence. I did like that.
Remind me what happens again.
So basically, I think the annoying one, Benny, is like soliciting support from people in a cafe of like trying to stop this motorway being built and destroying the forest. And in doing so, she cleverly does something very sneaky that helps with the hacking. And I thought that was really well done. Within 2 minutes, they just it was really well constructed, that opening scene. But after that, I mean, the exposition, there's one point where one sister to the other is jokingly basically explaining what they're doing under the pretense of like, oh, and then we'll tell him we're doing this. We're going to break into the Ministry of Transport and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, just hide it. Hide it a bit better. Also, Boydo.
Yeah.
Did didn't you think, oh, maybe it was me, I really feel that it was like a suggestion or something untoward between these sisters.
Oh, no, yeah, completely.
It's
oh,
like,
yeah, there's one bit.
It's
yeah.
so
yeah,
weird,
yeah, yeah.
right? They yeah. they sleep, like, nothing wrong with sleeping in the same bed, but I mean, like, there's hair's breadth between them, right? They're, like, literally spooning
did,
each other in
did
bed.
Did they sleep head to toe, like
no,
in Maryland?
No, see, that,
no, head to
know,
head.
Yeah, head to head, which, like, usually I would spooner. Say is fine, but it's like a spooning situation.
Yeah, it's weird.
They're kind of gazing at each other,
yeah.
like, touching each other's faces
they're
and
very
stroking
touchy
up hair.
Feeling, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just think it's a lot.
It's not right.
No,
it's not right.
It's
not. It is. Yeah,
I found
is.
It so distracting then because I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
are they trying to suggest something like, you know?
Yeah. Because there's one night where the mad one goes off and has like a lovely time, doesn't she? Mm. Like after some attempt. She basically, she calls off their, like, whatever they're doing, cyber terrorist attack, decides to go out on the piss,
yeah.
comes back. Still drunk
to
where her sister is and climbs into bed.
That's
with
when
her.
The weird spooning happens.
Yes, yeah, it is freaky. Yeah, that was the most interesting. To be fair, that was the most
the big
thing.
Incest energy. Was
yeah,
that okay.
was the best slash only interesting thing about the show. But it's one of those shows that's so pointlessly irritating that you wonder. It makes you question the whole existence of streaming. You know, like why? What did Paramount Plus see in this thing?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you know, it's just mad. Yeah.
It's a shame because, you know, we want to do more foreign dramas on here,
yeah,
but
this
well,
this is not
okay, as our foreign language editor, mm. like, you should be,
hello,
you know.
I brought you Fake Profile, which is, like, very Sophie and trashy, but is infinitely better than this in terms of being entertaining.
Well, a thin line, then, comes to Paramount Plus.
It's a 9 from us.
When?
Oh, that's a good question.
Boyd's blocked it out from his head.
Boyd's like, do you know what? It doesn't matter when it comes, don't watch it.
Hold on, 6th of July.
6th of July.
Thursday.
Watch it at your peril. Finally this week, we have Blindspot. No, not the procedural series about a naked, heavily tattooed Jamie Alexander, but rather a Channel 5 crime thriller that sees a masked man bludgeon someone to death on an estate, only for it to haunt the only witness, not least of all, as local Bobby Ross Kemp apparently gives zero fucks about the whole affair. Okay, did this show make you want to bludgeon yourself to death?
Yes. It did. I can't sugarcoat it. This week has been a hard going week. And I was really thought, oh, please, Ross Kemp, come on. Everyone's expecting a certain thing from you. Pull it out of the bag. And oh, no. Just, I mean, okay. First of all, I mean, as you said, so the character of Hannah, she's played by Beth Aylesbury, and she basically goes to help a girl in need who she discovers is actually her friend, but it's a ruse for a man to essentially, in a scary mask, to attack her.
Yeah.
And she sees her friend, like her friend tries to distract the man so that Hannah can run, can get away, but ultimately bears the brunt of the man's violence and is killed.
Yes.
You know, and Hannah witnesses that, and then it's this terrifying thing where Hannah's in a wheelchair and she's trying to sort of outpace an able-bodied man who's intent on harming her, which is really terrifying, actually, those scenes. And Hannah subsequently becomes sort of like just fixated and obsessed with finding the murderer because, as you say, the police don't seem to care at all. Ross Kemp plays Tony Warden, who is a detective. He wears a leather jacket a la Grant Mitchell. Yeah, and he's the detective who's brought on board to solve this crime, but he's so disenfranchised, he doesn't care. Like, as James says, he gives zero fucks, and he could be less bothered. The community are in uproar, and that is communicated to us in such a heavy-handed way, right? So you've got, like, he receives retirement cards in his car. When he goes into the police station, all the fellow colleagues leave as soon as he walks in. There's no subtlety about this at all. It's so
that
heavy-handed.
That scene is hilarious.
Yeah,
Honestly, there's the funniest thing I've seen on TV for years.
He walks in and everyone literally scarpers. It's
so much funny. Like when I come into the office.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. The implication being that, you know, also that he's a bent copper, and there's a reason why he doesn't want to investigate. I found Hannah annoying in the way that you found Benny annoying. The overall question is this, because Hannah becomes fixated with it. She works in a job where she monitors CCTV and she thinks she sees this masked attacker a lot. But the question is it real? Is she just so fixated that she's now imagining things? And also, why doesn't Tony care? By the end of this, I don't care. I really, you know, from the dialogue to the performance, I just was disappointed by this. And, you know, some of the acting was sort of as wooden as the baseball bat that the murderer carries. And I couldn't carry on.
I've got a new test for this kind of show, right?
Oh.
Detective series. Yeah. I've mentioned this before, but I'm now going to run it past every single detective drama we do, which is the cloth test. And it's whether or not it passes the A Touch of Cloth, Charlie Brooker's series, which I mentioned here before, which is a brilliantly funny spoof, airplane-style spoof of all detective dramas ever. Three different series of it. But it's so it's so brilliantly, giddily stupid, his piss take of all the cliches and tropes of detective dramas, that this first episode of Blindspot, which you're supposed to take seriously, is as funny as A Touch of Cloth almost, because that incident you describe where he walks into the police station, they literally stop him. It's so madly...
when he's looking at the retirement cards and then he's playing endlessly with his ring to just emphasise the fact that he's struggling in his marriage.
There's another bit where he's literally handed a load of £50 notes in an envelope. Like, is he corrupt?
Yeah.
Do you remember thinking of Line of Duty, how brilliantly you think like how they handle is he or isn't he corrupt in that? So it's like, this one is literally like leafing through multiple times these £50 notes in this envelope he's been given. It's just got sequence after sequence that would completely work in A Touch of Cloth, which is a spoof of this type of show.
I like this new test.
Oh my God. I think it's so bad it's really funny. I think it's
but it's not trying to be a comedy.
Also, his performance, every time he arrives, he's literally, I can't be bothered. He's like a spoiled teenager. He's like, oh no, he's complaining again about someone being killed in an alleyway.
I wish we were filming this.
Like, fucking, do your job, you absolute.
But like, obviously, spoilers, but we get to more like, he's got some stuff going on, which is obviously affecting him. But it's like, by that point, it's just like,
not to
who
that level.
Cares?
Yeah, exactly. That.
It is really
not
quite
good.
Extraordinary how funny that. I have to admit, by the end of it, that first episode, unlike you, there's a montage of upcoming episodes.
There is, yes.
I thought, oh my God, it's going to get really mad.
No, I stopped before that.
It's going to get really mad, because all you can deduce from, this isn't a spoiler because they almost spoil their own show, but the implication of the montage of clips from forthcoming episodes seem to imply that there is some kind of mass conspiracy.
Yes. Yes. But genuinely, this is the part of this whole thing that threw me so much. Is this ridiculous low level. It all takes place on this one estate and they've got some CCTV and this crime was committed. And by the time you get to the end, you've genuinely got something where they're going to call in Ted Hastings because there's this massive global conspiracy spent to the highest levels of local government. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's super whack.
Yeah. It's absolutely
totally whack. In a really funny Touch of Cloth style.
But I'm feeling very vindicated, because I genuinely worried that I was going to come into one of these situations today where I would be like, oh my God, this was so... And you'd be like, no, it's perfectly good. You're just being an elitist twat. And I thought this was going to be one of these situations where I couldn't read whether this was just me.
On this rare occasion, you're right.
Yeah, I would say that if there is a diametric opposite to peak TV, then this falls somewhere in that area of the Venn diagram.
Yeah.
I mean, we should say it's good. I do think it's because it's still so rare to have a disabled character.
I was
going to
say
wheelchair,
that, yes.
You know?
She's
the main character.
That's the interesting aspect.
And actually, it's interesting how they used her disability as a source of the tension, right?
I actually thought the first scene where she witnesses a frankly horrendous crime, that was good. Good in quotes.
But then. There is one later on where she's being pursued with a wheelchair, which veers ever so faintly into Benny Hill territory.
In the lift.
Yes. Yeah. When you're just like, what is happening?
I know.
Just
genuinely.
It's a nifty little trick that I might try out.
I wouldn't advise it. It goes completely off the rails. I can't stop laughing at Ross Kemp. It's because it is really funny. It's really funny how pissed off he is.
Oh. Blind Spot, then, which comes to Channel 5.
This is a drama event, James. It runs on Channel 5 Tuesday to Friday.
Stripped across the week. That's your whole week sorted.
Yeah. And you know what happens next week, we might end up reviewing, is the new Stripped Across the Week Channel 5 drama starring Danny Dyer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, kill me.
No spoilers.
No, I like Danny Dyer.
No spoilers.
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of other stuff next week, so we'll have to see.
Well, Originations, Gap First, Foundation Season 2. Let me remind you.
Oh, God. Right. What else is out this week?
Oh, what else is out? The Lincoln Lawyer, season two.
Lincoln Lawyer does return,
yes. Did we like season
one? Not really. Thought it was fine. We thought it was fine. And, you know, obviously this is Michael Connelly, who, yes, you know, is part of the Boshiverse, in fact.
Of course.
But it's just that it's on Netflix and it's not on Prime, so they can't cross over. But I found it a bit.
Okay. Well, that starts on Netflix Thursday, 6th of July. Be excited, obviously. The Horror of Dolores Roach.
Yes, which we'll be reviewing on Pilot Plus this week.
Yes. That arrives on Prime Video on Friday, the 7th of July, but was embargoed, so that we're leaving that to do on Pilot Plus. It's a comedy horror drama. Sorry, Kay. There's a thing called The Effects of Lying, which is a one-off feature-length comedy thing on ITVX on Thursday with Ace Batty from Line of Duty. He was a slightly mysteriously kind of not very nice, quasi-aggressive superior officer in that show. I think he was head of the Met or almost. Do you remember?
Very senior.
Yeah. And it's got Leila Ruas in it as well. I haven't watched it, but it's supposed to be quite good. ITVX. But it's feature length, so we couldn't have reviewed it because none of us have got that amount of time. Oh, the South Bank Sky Arts Awards are on Wednesday on Sky Arts now, which I was one of the judges of, and I'll be attending that ceremony on this very Sunday at the Savoy Hotel.
Who will you be wearing, Boyd?
I think Supreme. I'll be wearing my normal... I might wear a Supreme t-shirt and my Paul Smith suit, maybe. Mm. Yeah. Then there's loads of non-fiction shows which James will turn his nose up on at if I mention them. Like Cooking with the Stars.
Yes, I will.
Bake Off the Professionals. Joanna Lumley's Spice Trail Adventure.
Oh, I mean, I love Joe Lum.
Kay's a big Joe Lum fan.
I love Joe Lum.
Weird, can I just say, with Cooking with the Stars, right? This is a celebrity cooking competition, as you may expect from the title. But among the cast, people take part is Jason Watkins, who I would describe as a proper, good, serious actor. But he's doing Cooking with the Stars.
Well, he's a star.
Good on
Cooking
him,
with
say.
The Stars, yeah. He's a star.
But it's quite rare to get that kind of thespian involved in this kind of show, is all I'd say. But I'm quite excited about that. So there you go.
Well, I mean, they approached you for Bake Off, Boydie. So.
Exit Series 1 before
it became a thing. Is Ryan Reynolds on Bake Off, or was he just posing with Prue and Paul Hollywood? Do you see that photo?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he's outside the tent.
Oh, wow. Okay, no, I didn't see that at all.
That is it for another excellent episode of the Pilot TV Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please do head over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a 5 Ross Kemp rating.
Pick of the week?
We need a pick of the week. We need a pick of the week. Is it Blind Spot?
Do you know what? It's not Blind Spot, and nor is it A Thin Line, James. It is Then You Run.
You Run, the only show we can, in good conscience, recommend you watch this week. Okay, exciting stuff. I should say, please do buy tickets to our live show, our 250th live show on August the 19th at King's Place in London. It's going to be amazing. There will be baking. There will be cakes. There will be a judge for the... I mean, I should say, it's not a baked good based show. It's not all about baking. It's not like the Pilot TV Bake Off. That will be a very small part of a larger show. Boyd's going to bring 15, 16 of his celebrity friends down. It's going to be epic. We're going to review brilliant stuff. Go to kingsplace.co.uk/pilot250 and book your tickets now. You can find us on the social medias at Pilot TV Pod, at James C. Dyer, at Kay Ribeiro, and at Boyd Hilton. Now, we will be back next week when there is a vast selection of things for us to look at. Maybe Company You Keep on Disney Plus. Could be the After Party Season 2. Quantum Leap comes to Paramount Plus, the remake of that show. Foundation Season 2 comes to Apple. You better believe we're doing that. The Great Season 3 comes to Lionsgate Plus. The Summer I Turn Pretty returns as well. So there's a lot of stuff going next week.
Danny Dyer.
And the Danny Dyer.
It's called Heat.
It's Michael Mann directed it. It's absolutely true. Yeah. Okay, great. So we will be doing that as well. And Kay will be happy because we have not one, not two, but 3 stars of The Witcher on this very podcast just for you. Exciting stuff. Kay, you psyched?
Sigh.
Yeah. Yennefer of Vengerberg will be here. Princess Cirilla of Sintra and Jaskia the Bard.
Okay, we really do need subtitles.
No Geralt.
Geralt. Geralt was not available.
Geralt.
Yes.
Geralt.
Geralt of
you
Rivia.
You say tomato, well, wait, I say tomato. Yeah, let's
we ended
thing.
How we started.
Geralt, Boyd says. Geralt of Rivia. Yes.
I mean, yeah.
No, you'll be shocked to hear that old Henry isn't doing press for this, his final season of The Witcher.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But anyway, that'd be fun. Look forward to it next week. Or we will see you on Thursday for Pilot Plus. In the meantime, Pilot out.